Good afternoon. 16 minutes past 12. It's Vicky in for Simon this week. Now, look, we all have those days when you just want to curl up and watch a film and forget everything. Just transport yourself away into a completely make-believe world. But what if that film was actually doing more than just whiling away a couple of hours? Well, Sydney Conroy is a child play therapist at Cambridge University and says that actually watching Disney films could help children work through traumas. It's such an interesting idea because especially the modern Disney films, they're so complex in the things and so grown up, and they tackle the biggest, darkest kind of things that we would go through as human beings. Sydney, good afternoon. Thank you very much for talking about it with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, when we look at some of the ones that you mentioned as well here, we're looking at, as I say, quite modern Disney films. So Encanto, Coco, Soul, Inside Out. And they do, as I say, tackle huge themes, grief, loss, death, just everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
So how are they doing it that works really well? Because they are quite beautiful films.
They are, yeah, they serve more than just for entertainment. And it works a little bit similar to the way play therapy works in general, which is the work that I do as a therapist, in that it tells a story through play, and it allows children to kind of connect to characters a little bit with like distance, so outside of themselves. So they may see themselves in a certain character, they may see their family in a certain character, they may see a topic that is relevant to their lives. And so they can kind of connect to that. And in a therapy room with the therapist that's trained in this, it can be used to sort of do some healing work more than just for entertainment.
So is this just about kind of it's a good thing to get kids to watch, or is this it needs to be in a certain circumstance, or can it be that maybe you're watching it with a child at home and sort of discussing the topics with them as it goes?
Yes, all of those.
Okay.
It's one of those things where a lot can be true at once. We saw with Inside Out that schools used the characters all over the place. They used it for like psychoeducation stuff. They put it up on their bulletin boards. So there was like a very educational use to teaching kids emotions. And with something like Encanto, it can be used in a therapy room. Like if you have miniatures or stuffed animals of certain characters, one of the characters can kind of hear everything. And so that can be used in a therapy room for a child that maybe is prone to overhearing conversations that maybe they shouldn't be. So they have more information than maybe is appropriate for a child to have. And so having that in a playroom can help a therapist kind of understand what is going on at home. And then you also have the side of parents watching it with their children, or whole families watching things together, and really being able to kind of tie what they see in the film to real life experiences that are happening in a child's life. So it can kind of be used in a magnitude of ways.
So are you seeing real world benefits for children when you're using these things?
Absolutely. And not even just for children, especially with Encanto. I think the social media response of grownups around the world, like connected to some of the songs and some of the characters. And so it's really relatable and something that gives people language or awareness that maybe they didn't have before.
A lot of children's films and stories and things like that, they are often quite dark, aren't they? And a lot of them start with the premise that you have to have removed, to make it more dramatic, you've got to have removed an adult from the situation before you even start the drama that is going to be in a child story or a young person's story, because then they have to figure it out by themselves. And that's sort of been true of always in terms of children's telling stories.
Yeah, I think that can be true. And I think it also allows for children being able to relate to when they feel isolated or when they feel like they don't have an adult there to support them. And I think that can be true for a lot of children in different stages of growing up. And I think it also helps them see themselves as capable of seeing a child solve a problem or find community, as we see in some films. Yeah.
Do you think that these themes and things like that, because as I say, the themes for an awful lot of kids' films have been quite dark for a very long time. Do you think that they are changing, though? Do you think there's something special about these newer ones that are coming out?
I think there's something special in the fact that there's a awareness about mental health and there's awareness about the impacts of certain events in children's lives. And so I think that there is probably a more intentional messaging in some of these movies than we saw before. But I think it's been pretty consistent kind of throughout.
How do the films help, I suppose, when it comes to helping children who might have been through traumatic experiences or upsetting experiences who either can't or just won't verbalize it? They don't know the words. They can't quite explain it. Does it help in those circumstances?
Absolutely. And play therapy is a great setting for that and is part of the reason that I framed the paper in the way that I did, because for play therapy, the way that we kind of describe it is the toys are the words and the play is the conversation. So if we think about it as an adult going to counseling, it's pretty much the same thing. We just have different ways of expressing it. And so let's say a child lost their parent with COVID and you have Finding Nemo in the room. And then all of a sudden Nemo starts showing up in play after grief and you start seeing kind of single parenting come up in play. And that all happens because a therapist or someone is aware of the story and knows what goes on in those films. And there's very little discussion that has to happen in that. There's sort of an understanding and a relatability. And so I think play therapy can be a great setting for that. But I also think parents who watch these films and grownups in children's lives are also capable of being aware of these things and can be really intentional about the conversations that they have during or after watching these films. So I think it can show up in a lot of ways in supporting children to kind of get their stories out.
Yeah, it's interesting because you sort of think that, well, there are lots of these things that you talked about, Finding Nemo and stuff. Well, you know, no one's going to identify with a fish because we're not fish. We're actually people. But but they see a character going through the same thing as they are going through and maybe don't feel so alone. Know that actually they're not the only one that feels that way or has been through that terrible, terrible experience.
Yes. Exactly. And we as grownups, I think, know this too. We turn to films and stories to get ourselves through hard times. And so I think it's a very human thing. And sometimes because children's movies are so entertaining and like with Encanto, the soundtrack is brilliant and, you know, hit the music charts. And so sometimes I think it can be easy to kind of sweep the usefulness of these films under the rug and being really intentional and aware of the way it may be impacting children, I think, can be really helpful.
So I've got to ask, how did the research come about? How did the idea of it all start?
The pandemic, to be honest. I was really curious about all of the news that was happening about children. So there was a lot of news stories about what the impact of lockdown was going to be. And there's a lot of deficit talk about learning loss. And you were hearing people talk about children without listening to children. And we weren't really hearing from children what being in a pandemic felt like and what the impacts of policy around that was. And so that was sort of the catalyst for me. And then I found this research center at Cambridge called PEDAL. And everyone does research about play in some capacity. And so I just immediately knew that this was gonna be the place for me in my research. And it's been good so far.
And what sort of reaction are you getting to it?
A lot of excitement, particularly with this Encanto paper, which wasn't a part of my PhD to begin with. It was something where I watched the movie and then the second time around after I was done crying, I found myself taking notes on my notes app about it, and was like, oh, there's something happening in this film. And so this has been a little bit of a sidestep to my research, but is still tied to the larger themes about trauma and play therapy. But I've been really excited about the way people are engaging with these topics.
Do you think it's useful for, and I'm not suggesting in any way, shape or form at all that it would replace therapy, but, you know, not necessarily everyone would have access to therapy for lots and lots of different reasons, or might not consider it, or might decide that they don't want to do it for whatever reason. Do you think this is not a substitute, but a good way to maybe handle it at home?
I think that there's benefits to, like, having the psychoeducation that these films can help provide, and having grown-ups at home have conversations with their children, right? Because a therapist is with the child one day a week, typically for about an hour. And then the hard work gets done at home, like with the integrating and the merging of the things that come up in a therapy session. And so I think films allow that conversation to happen at home. And I think it can happen without a therapist, and just with parents kind of being intentional about the films and being a little bit aware about the messaging that's happening within them.
Yeah.
I think there's great benefit to having family members and siblings, and like everyone get involved in these types of things.
Yeah. And you said about that, obviously this has come about as a look at researching the impact of COVID-19 on children and young people. How long do you think we're going to see those impacts for? Is it going to stay with us? Is it going to stay with them for many years? How's it going to impact?
I think it's hard to tell so far. But something I've been looking at is sort of like collective traumas that have happened in other places. And some people may not think of COVID that way. So we're kind of exploring if that is even true. But other things that have happened to entire communities kind of linger in ways that people may not think about trauma. Like, trauma often gets elevated to like the post-traumatic stress disorder level.
Yeah.
And people don't often look around at the way it can impact like people's trust in the world, or their willingness to make friends, their motivation levels, even eating behaviors. Like, all of that could be an impact from trauma, and that could show up. And there's some studies being done that have already come out and say we're starting to see like increased loneliness that's not being reduced, anxiety levels, eating disorders. So we're starting to see impacts already, but it's hard to know how long it'll last. Mm. And the more work we do around it now, while we're still in it, is going to reduce the kind of lingering impacts.
The topics, as I said, the topics that are covered by all these films are very, very varied, very, very dark, very, very deep. Do you think there's still topics that haven't yet been covered that would be useful for play therapists in the next few years?
Yes. The topics are deep and a lot has been covered, but it's covering things that children go through already. Mm. So even though it feels like harsh sometimes, or like, I think parents sometimes worry about things being too deep and it impacting children in that way, but children go through these events all the time. And so I think continuing on that path, and even if we're still wrestling with the same concepts of grief, family, trauma, having it set in different communities and in different family structures across different ages. Like, I think there's plenty of ways to retell stories with the same topics that can impact children who maybe didn't relate to certain movies so far. And so I hope that is kind of the way forward.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of the happy, fluffy kind of everybody lives happily ever after story is sort of like a lovely idea for children's stories, but it's not life, and that's not what they're going through. They are going through this stuff, and you to be able to see their stories told on the screen just gives them something that they can identify with.
Absolutely. We saw that, I think, a lot with Turning Red. Having a story about puberty that has never been told before was brilliant and impactful. And I think that these filmmakers and these storytellers are aware and they know what they're doing. And I think that they're highlighting stories that need to be told, and children need to see themselves in media and they relate to it. And it shows up in the therapy room, it shows up in school, it shows up at home. Anyone who knows a child knows that they'll have their favorite movies and their books and things that they're obsessed with. And so I think supporting them as best we can with the awareness that we have as the grown-ups in their lives is important.
Mm. Oh, thank you so much for talking to us today. It's really, really interesting, the work that you're doing. Sydney Conroy, who is a child play therapist at Cambridge University and has been doing some research on how watching Disney films could actually help children work through trauma. And, well, it just gives us all a lovely excuse, doesn't it? When I'm underneath the bright lights,